The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for joining us. We're really excited about today's show. It's also been at least 2 weeks since you and I Skyped, yeah, because we were doing some back episodes.
Yeah, I did call you this week to catch up, but for a while I was like, God, I haven't talked to you in so long. It's been so long. This summer has literally flown by. Like, I cannot believe how fast. Your kids are already back in school. That was crazy a long time ago.
Well, they started very early, yeah, yes.
But my kids are back in on Wednesday. Today, Santi went to orientation in middle school, sixth grade. Crazy pants. I was literally just telling him how I remember the first day I had to drop him at preschool and he screamed and cried. And I felt like a horrible mother by leaving him there. Like, you go through that. You're like, what am I doing? Why am I even doing this? Why am I leaving him? And then today I'm like, how are you doing? You okay? He's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm like, okay, are you nervous? No, not really. I'm like, okay, well, I love you. He's like, all right, bye.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to do this as they get older.
You just do it, man. You just do it.
I know. I had a friend stay with me the last couple of days because she was dropping her son off at ASU. And I met this kid when he was 10. And I can't believe he's going to college. But I also, like, look at my friend and I'm just like, I'm upset by proxy. Like, I'm upset for her. I'm emotional for her. Like, she's emotional, but I'm also like, oh my God, he's all grown up. And he's totally not mine. Like, not even a little bit mine. I've known him since he was 10 or 11, but not like really, really well. It's a trip, but I'll be here close by if he needs anything. So I think that's bringing us both.
Yeah.
Some comfort.
That's cool.
Anyway.
That's cool. But yeah, it's wedding season has been in full swing. And,
yes.
You know, I have a couple more to go and then it'll be like that calm when we have more time to do other things, like pay attention to our families or the podcast or the Facebook group.
It's staying afloat.
It is staying afloat. Yeah, it is.
And for anyone listening out of order, well, actually, we don't even know when this one's going to air, but right now, as we record, this is the week of the Handmaid's Tale finale. So if you can use that as a point, if you're watching Handmaid's and you're listening to this podcast, you're like, okay, that's when they recorded this. Michelle, you do not watch that show, right? Well, I do. And I just watched, like, literally right before we recorded, because everyone's gone. I have the house to myself.
Oh,
I
nice.
Watched the finale, which was Wednesday. And it's like, I was like sobbing downstairs at 15 minutes till, like, okay, get it together. You have to record. It's just a fictional show, but that's a point of reference for my mental health right now.
Okay.
So yeah, it was very intense. I think generally pretty successful finale. I wonder if our guest watches that show.
Well,
our guest.
Speaking
today.
Of guests, this is an episode that you and Katrina more cooked this up than I did, because I not that I'm not on board. I'm totally on board and I'm super excited about it. But, you know, guys, people listening, it's a little controversial. Right? So people
it's
don't.
Part two.
Part two with this guest.
Like a follow-up.
It's a follow-up, yeah. But it's a different subject. I mean, yes, the other one has to do with the other for sure. But some people don't like talking about this stuff. And, you know, it makes them uncomfortable. And that's the way it is.
Well, we are only reflecting back for the most part, at least when episode ideas are born. We're reflecting back what we're seeing, what we're reading about, what our clients are talking about, and what our listeners have brought up.
Yeah, so this is all relevant. Just everybody listening, it's all relevant.
And we're business people in a way. We wouldn't bring back a guest whose first episode was like not good, not entertaining, kind of a flop. We wouldn't be like, we need to have that guest back on.
Yeah, no.
Like obviously the first episode was fun and we loved it and our listeners loved it. So
in fact,
that episode is
86. One of our top episodes. It's actually number 6. Of the over 200, I don't know what we're at now. We're at like almost 160 as we're recording this, but it's number 6 of all time. It's number 6.
Of all time. So that episode is number 86, Feminism and Weddings, Questioning Tradition. That was our title for that.
That's a good title.
And then we follow and I interact sometimes with Katrina on social media. Katrina Mikett is our guest today, and she circled back recently an email about, hey, I think it's like time. There's enough going on in the world and the wedding industry and news that I could be on the podcast again, specifically talking about activism. And we've seen some like pretty publicized weddings with overt expressions of activism in this current political climate. So opening up the question to like, appropriateness and also values when you're planning your wedding and how to incorporate or choose not to incorporate or deal with that in the wedding planning frame of your life right now. So we're so happy to have you, Katrina. Thank you for being here. And I'm just going to read your blurb super quick and then we will
talk
about that email. Yes. Okay. Katrina Mikett is author of the book, The Adventures and Discoveries of a Feminist Bride, What No One Tells You Before You Say I Do. It's the only wedding book that explains where all of our Western traditions come from and how they impact the people we love. It uses feminism, humor, and fun facts to eradicate all the hidden sexism in wedding traditions and provides egalitarian options for all. Katrina is also a visual artist who uses embroidery to reveal how other feminine traditions have affected women's lives, and she exhibits around the U.S. and lectures at colleges about activism, textile art, and women's issues. Welcome, Katrina.
Hello. Thank you for having me back. I'm excited to be here again.
Yeah, so the topic is kind of all over the place in terms of what we've outlined to touch on, mm-hmm. but give us that original email that kind of stoked us to go on this.
Well, I think what we're seeing today in terms of, you know, wedding venues and the current politics and the state of things is that people are pretty upset when you're invited to a wedding that doesn't agree with your politics or are in a location that is maybe personally or politically offensive to you. And, you know, what to do in those scenarios if you are invited to such a wedding. Or, you know, if you're having a wedding yourself, is this a good platform to share your opinion, to raise awareness, to take some action? Because you're in front of a really large audience that you have their attention to. And so, you know, I raised it to you, like, maybe we should talk about whether or not a wedding is appropriate to do these sort of things.
Yeah, and like I said, we have a bunch of bullet points to go over, like just examples and questions and things that might relate to activism or values. But in thinking about it, like preparing for today's episode, but also just in thinking about it in your art and what you are talking about, what is your conclusion? Ugh. Do you have this is my thesis on the topic?
So I really grappled with this issue because at the end of the day, what is a wedding supposed to be? A wedding is supposed to be a day where you commit to the person you love and you say, I do, and forever, and you're supposed to be happy. And that is really the antithesis to what you think a wedding should be. But here's the thing. Love in the U.S. is regulated by the U.S. government. you have to go to town hall to get a license to get married. Same-sex marriage was outlawed until a few years ago. Interracial marriage was outlawed, you know, several decades ago. Love has always been regulated. And so when you regulate something as pure as love, it becomes political, you know? And if a wedding is about love, and yet here you have this political regulated aspect to it, it actually does technically become a platform to raise issues and awareness and change. So it's actually not a terrible platform. You get into the question, though, as to whether or not, how do you do these things with class, with good etiquette, without isolating the people that you're inviting? You know, the strategies you should employ for the, you know, creating awareness and sharing your political beliefs. Like, how do you do that well without offending anyone?
Yeah. And I thought about that a lot too when we started digging into this. Like, as a wedding planner, what would make me kind of bristle? Like, I understand you want to express yourself, but that maybe is a step too far, whatever that example is. And I think you might, people might leave or not forgive you, or maybe you don't want that like antagonism present on your wedding day. But what trumped it for me, so to speak, or what overruled that almost, was that we on the podcast, Michelle and I, are always talking about how you do you. Mm. A wedding should be an expression of your love, your relationship. If you're into fucking Japanese anime and you want that at your wedding, and it like it is something that's important to you and you're passionate about, don't let anyone talk you into like, oh, well, that's not very wedding-y. Don't put that there, you know. Like, incorporate it somehow. Do you speak to your relationship and your love? Mm-hmm. And I have certainly worked with couples who were, you know, individually activists together. They were activists, or certain causes were extremely important to them, or their livelihood, or, you know, their life and how they met. And by all means, you should express that at your wedding if it's part of who you are in this moment in time and this big decision you're making, and you've invited your village and your tribe. And I, like I said, I went back and forth like you did about what's appropriate or how far to go. But I think in the end, our advice as wedding planners to like do you and be true to yourself can also apply when thinking about wedding planning this way as potentially a platform and an expression of deeply held beliefs.
Yeah.
So in that way, you know, if I'm somewhere in the middle, I'm closer to the side of go for it. And now let's talk about like how to do that, not carefully, but with others in mind.
Yeah. I think it's good to think of weddings today. It's sort of the Thanksgiving equivalent, or, you know, another Thanksgiving where you're nervous to show up to Thanksgiving with all your different relatives with different political views, and like, oh, we've joined together for a happy occasion, but yes, some sensitive stuff is going to get brought up regardless of why we're here or what we're doing.
And there's those rules, like whatever you do, don't mention this to uncle, whoever.
Don't talk politics.
Or
religion.
Or if you're, you know, if you're the gay cousin and you just got engaged, but that's going to, you know, people want to like bury their head in the sand, then there might be family who's like, can you just call him your friend? Just, can we just have one last Thanksgiving grandma. Yeah.
Don't upset your grandmother. We don't know how much longer we're going to have her here.
This is a phase. Oh, no. Can you tell her it's a phase? So yes, things are rife right now. Everyone's like bubbled to the top. Just in the world, but I would say in America specifically, I can speak to that. So you're right that like weddings are a little bubble, like a Thanksgiving or any big family get together. So
I find it so interesting, Katrina, what you just said. That, like, literally, I've noticed that I haven't been talking very much, and we've been recording for like 14 minutes, because I find myself listening right now like so intently, and I find it really interesting. And I don't know that I've ever really thought about this, that this is all regulated by the government. Like, you're not married. I mean, you can be married in your heart. You could be committed in your heart or through your church. but it's not legal. You know what I mean? Like, it's not really happening as far as society's eyes or the government.
Recognitions that come unless, with that.
Yeah. And how you say that it's only recent that same-sex, you know, marriages are legal or interracial. But, I mean, even just like our polyamory episode, you know, they can't all be married legally. And they're living together. They're in love. They're a family.
Consenting adults.
But only two of them are allowed to get married. So it's just, this is so, it's kind of blowing my mind. I get a lot of things happen that blow
that episode was very controversial as well.
Yeah.
So, as you can imagine.
So some of you listening, and I'm sure those of you who are really already, there's probably a lot of people that aren't going to listen to this episode just based on the title of it. And maybe somebody that'll give it a try. But you know, you all might, if you've looked, I think we have maybe three bad reviews or something like that. But one of them was because, and Katrina, I don't know if I told you this or you know this, but one time Christy and I, we've probably mentioned him several times. We mentioned Trump and how we wish that he wasn't our president. And someone got really upset.
If you're listening to this in 5 years,
Oh yeah, we're like, joking. Who's president? So someone got really upset and wrote a bad review. So, I mean, I understand that, again, and it's clear and it's obvious, but people don't want to talk about this kind of stuff. But yeah, I think it is very relevant. And Christy, just in our Patreon newsletter for our patrons, you put that link to that wedding that was the Magda wedding, right? The theme.
MAGA wedding,
MAGA, I don't even know what it is. Wedding, the theme. And I was looking at it going, whoa, extreme.
That was extreme, extreme, extreme. We can start on that note with a relation to that, but not as extreme, which is the very clear indication that you would get if you were a guest and you're invited to a wedding and it's at a Trump property, because his properties have his name on them. So it's not like something you find out later. You know, it's like that, be at the reception, at the ballroom, at the Trump hotel or whatever. Guests might be uncomfortable with that, or a couple getting married that tells me to find them a ballroom in New York City, I'm probably going to ask some questions before I recommend a bunch of different ballrooms. And that would be something to think about.
Yeah.
And how conscious a couple needs to be of the location of their wedding if they're going to be inviting a, you know, diverse group of people to be guests that might have deeply held beliefs about that property. Mm-hmm. And another example is my brother, who's gay, was invited to a wedding in Jamaica, and it was of a friend of his, like, since high school. He's had this friend for a long time, and he would have like traveled to go to her wedding somewhere. But it was, like I said, a couple years ago, it was Jamaica. And at the time, and still, I think a little bit, it was a very unsafe place for out gay people. And if he was going to go to her wedding, he was going to bring his boyfriend, and, you know, they would want to go somewhere where they felt safe. And there's many places around the world where gay couples don't feel safe. So he politely declined and sent her a gift and a nice card and didn't think anything of her character or like her thought process going into that. It's Jamaica. It was a destination wedding. That's what she chose. I, you know, really doubt that she was thinking, oh, this might not be possible for some people because of this reason. If anything, it wouldn't be possible because it's a destination on an island and you have to travel. But something like that, or a wedding that's held on a plantation, you know, a historical plantation, might have some underlying cultural implications that don't make everyone feel welcome or comfortable.
Yeah, I think it definitely depends on which perspective you're coming at this issue from. Are you the couple who need to find a venue to host your wedding? I personally think your mindfulness towards allyship and being a good friend and ally to your guests and being accommodating, because you are a host to these people. A wedding isn't just about it being your day. It's about being a good host and entertaining the people you invite to it. So if you are picking a location that makes other people uncomfortable, perhaps it's good to go back to point A and, you know, revisit the options for hosting. And make a list of priorities. Is it about showing that you're a good friend who's mindful of the needs of others? Or is it about picking a questionable venue just because it can fit the capacity of your wedding? I think that's a good question to ask yourself. If you're coming at it from the point of being a wedding guest, I think from an activist point of view, there's a few different ways that you can think about it. You know, one, ask you, what's the greatest point of impact you can make? Is protesting it outright the biggest gesture of change you can make? Or, you know, sometimes being present in places that would usually exclude someone of your demographics or your point of view, is being present in that community a good way to create bipartisanship and to be present? Because if you look at like the history of activism, nothing changed without a person or a group saying, no, I deserve to be here. I deserve to be considered as a person. And so you need to acknowledge my presence and my needs and who I am as a person. And maybe that is actually the largest gesture of awareness and change you can make when being invited to a wedding venue that you are not particularly comfortable with. Bottom line, sort of on your brother's story, definitely make sure you're only attending if you feel safe in that space. I think that's probably a given.
But that showing up, assuming you feel safe, like you're safe, but showing up as not an act of rebellion or anything, but almost as a, like, I was invited here. I love you. I'm coming in spite of the fact that this is not a place where I feel welcome or where my choices or my life are necessarily respected.
Yeah. I mean, there are different ways you can argue that that's a good move and that's a bad move, but there's something to be said about making people recognize who you are as a person. And by not going, are you contributing to the the division that's happening within the U.S. of it's us, it's them. Are you still perpetuating these separate spheres by not going?
Yeah. It's so interesting to think about the both sides of these situations, because I have another cousin who is a lesbian, and she married a woman. We've talked about her before. She's white. Her partner is Black. I mean, 90% of our family is like 100% on board and supportive and active allies, like myself and my parents and my brother. But she invited everyone, even cousins or aunts and uncles who have said things in the past about gay marriage and are, you know, maybe of the hate the sin, not the sinner variety, but they invited them. It was a decision they'd made deliberately. It was not like an obvious decision for them, but they invited everyone thinking and hoping genuinely and authentically, I want them to come. I want this family to come to my wedding so that they see what this love is and why this is important to us, that we use the word marriage and it is legal and we are seen as equals to everybody else that's there and married and supports us. So they extended the invitation, and it was accepted by some people and not accepted by others, but it was still like important to them that they open that up.
Yeah.
You know, and I wonder if I got invited, if I myself got invited to a wedding, and my brother also got invited and they said I could bring my plus one, my husband, but my brother couldn't bring his partner.
Ugh.
Like that feels like I would have to put my foot down as a sibling and an ally and say, well, if he can't go with his boyfriend, I'm not going to go with my husband. Yeah. And I don't have to make a big thing about it, but I'm going to RSVP no, and we know that that's the reason why.
Yeah, weddings are community events, and you have to treat everyone within your community with equal respect. I think that's one of the problems that historical wedding tradition has sort of ignored. You know, there's the whole like no ring, no bring sort of attitude, which is just a way to discriminate against people who weren't married. And a lot of those people who weren't married historically were of the queer community as well. So yeah, it's really important to be mindful of these things, whereas like sticky of a topic this might be and people would rather ignore it. We just live in those times where we can't ignore it anymore, which is why I said, let's talk about it.
Yeah. One thing I'm seeing, and Michelle, I think you have done a wedding like this too as well, where they wanted, it was a straight cisgendered couple, but they wanted to incorporate the Supreme Court doctrine or ruling or some readings about equality in their wedding ceremony, even though they weren't gay, but, or it was more to a nod to their guests and the people that are important to them in their community. And I'm all for creating your ceremony with like heart, and it has always landed. I've never seen this done, you know, badly or ineffectually or unsuccessfully at a wedding in a ceremony. And I love it when people want to include those legal words about how it's a right, and, you know, the pursuit of happiness and all of that. So I think that's one avenue people can take to express allyship or activism, or to put another drop in the bucket if they're doing other things at their wedding too, like having charitable donations instead of favors or on their registry list. They can mm-hmm. also incorporate a little bit of that or a lot of that into a ceremony in how words are said to acknowledge their marriage.
Yeah.
And also acknowledge everyone else's.
I think it's really important to remember that if you're going to politicize your wedding, it doesn't have to be huge and over the top. It can be in these like really small moments. This is kind of why I wrote my book, is because within all these traditions, no one really understands that there are all these very political small acts in it. It's the same as, you know, your example of in the vows, when you go to a wedding and you hear you are now husband and wife, or you're now man and wife, you know, yeah. Why is the person still a man? Why is it a wife? The whole issue of Mr. and Mrs. It's all really like secretly embedded in there, all the way down to just policing of women's reproductive rights and fertility. There's nothing that's clean. So to like really fine tune your wedding ceremony and how you, and your reception, is probably the most impactful thing that you can do, because then you're helping to evolve and modernize outdated wedding traditions.
Yeah, that's the blurb right there, what you just said. I think that will be the quote that we can pull to explain what this episode is about.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many ways to go about that, and they can be considered and maybe adjusted a little bit. Like when you want to go full throttle, you can pull back a little bit if you're thinking about guests that you've invited, but that there's I guess like an underlying tone that speaks to how you two, the two people getting married and hosting this wedding, how you two view the world. Like your wedding is a reflection of that.
Yeah. I also think it's really important that if you're going to use your vows to highlight something very specific about your political convictions, to put your money where your mouth is. I think a really famous example is Brangelina, when they were still together, said they wouldn't get married until same-sex marriage was legal throughout the United States. And that never happened. I think they got to the point where it was legal through some of the United States before they got married. And people were pissed about that.
Oh, because they had like drawn a line in the sand.
Yeah.
And then were like, well, you guys get it.
Yeah.
You get what we were making a stand. But yeah.
We'll get married now.
Yeah. So we have that ceremony script is a good starting place. Thinking mm-hmm. about venue. Considering your guests, obviously making sure everyone feels safe and welcome, and whatever that means to you. And then I just quickly mentioned the charitable donations instead of gifts. So people put that on their registry, or also a gift to a charity in lieu of a wedding favor. And I've seen that done, like instead of people taking, you know, a bag of popcorn and an ice cream scoop with your name on it out the door, when they're leaving the wedding, they might take a little card that says, thank you so much for being our guest. In lieu of favors, we have donated money to blah, blah, blah. And Trisha and Sutton, who were on the podcast in a couple episodes, they had a gift registry with very few things on it because they've they're adults who've lived together and collect, they didn't need too much. But then Sutton is also really involved in or really passionate about animal rights. And so they put, please make a donation to this. I think it was a group in New Orleans that helped stray dogs, but certainly would not be the first charity group I would go to if I had an extra $100 I wanted to throw somewhere. I could think of many causes I would support before that, although I think it's, you know, great that he does that. But because it was instead of getting him a gift, I wrote a check to that dog charity because it was important to him. And that charity got a pretty substantial bump in donations and revenue because of their wedding and who they invited to their wedding that did that. So it's not for nothing to make a small donation or to ask for that on your registry. It can make a difference. And I think that's really lovely. As a wedding planner, I would also suggest, if you're considering that, that you you maybe have a couple options that are important to you. Like three charities that you really love and suggest those and include links, put it on your registry, put it on your wedding website, make it easy for guests. And same if you're asking or if you're giving it to them as a favor. You don't have to say, I gave $5 for every guest. You can keep it kind of vague, but a favor is usually to tell your guests, thank you for coming. And it's also as a token, like they can take it and look at it. And it's like, oh, that reminds me of that wedding we went to. So handing something out or having something in a basket at your wedding that says, you've donated to this. Thank you so much for coming. We've donated to this cause. And this is why it's important to us. We met there. We love this group. And we're looking forward to writing them a check after the wedding and doing some good with our wedding day. So those are my suggestions just logistically for how to do that.
Yeah. There's a lot of environmental suggestions that you can do within your wedding, because that is also a political act, is caring about the environment, which for sure. It shouldn't be, but it is. You know, with my own wedding, I wanted to skip the steaks for dinner. They recommend that you only have beef once a week to help reduce, you know, emissions. And I actually lost that argument. My parents were paying the food and they're like, no, we're doing steak. I'm like, but this is the one time I can make a large impact on the environment than me just, you know, not eating steak 6 days a week.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it had to do with like who was footing the bill. And that's something to be mindful of, especially, you know, when we go back to these questionable venues, you know, money talks. Where you're putting your money and who you're supporting really makes a difference. That in itself is a political act. So just to be mindful of who you're writing checks to.
Have you done any weddings, Michelle, where the favor was something to do with the environment, like seeds or a donation to an environmental cause, or we plant a tree? You can do those where you're basically paying a charity.
Yeah, I've had packets of seeds. I've had a card, a small card at each place setting said in lieu of favors we have donated to this charity. And then I've also had something with a tree.
Well, there is a charity that plants a tree
Oh man, this is a long time ago. What did they do? Something about planting a tree, or it was on the property. I think the venue that they got married at, they planted something. Somebody planted a tree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I've also had last year I did a wedding where everything was served on compostable, compostable. Plates, cups. The favors were actually glasses that, not even cups, actually, they didn't have cups. The favors were glasses. And those were, we had a sign there that told the guests, please take a glass. This is yours to keep, but we want you to use this all night. We're not, mm-hmm. you know, so that they reduced washing and, you know, and all that. So they did that. And then, so that was pretty awesome. That was a real green wedding. And then everything was rental. There was nothing that was thrown away into landfill. It was really nice.
I had a wedding, too, that did all vendors were local. And they were very specific about what that meant. So that nobody was driving an hour to get there, like a truck, a rental company, but also all the food. And you can't do this everywhere, but it was important to them that all the food and the catering and the cake was all local and locally sourced and farmed nearby.
You know, it's tough because sometimes with a lot of these weddings, people who are on budgets, they're going to find the least expensive items, right? Even if you're purchasing, right? And so they're going to find things really cheap and that are probably not really the best for the environment, the way that they were made or where they're coming from. And that's tough. You know, if I want to go really deep, and if I, because this is where I go sometimes in my head and how I've contributed to this as a planner and finding things that are cheap or helping them do that, because I want to help them have these awesome weddings and the wedding that they want and on a budget. But is that necessarily good for the environment? Or no, it's not. It's tough.
Yeah. So luckily there's many ways to make an impact. And if things aren't available or monetarily, the options just aren't feasible, which is understandable and common, I think. There's the other way to go, which is more from a more universal, I guess, look at things, which is what we talked about with Tamara on that representation about like making sure you have to hire a team full of people for your wedding. And if in most places you have options for every one category, like photographer, cake, whatever, there are several vendors in there that could fulfill it for you, and you get to choose who you want. You get to choose where your money goes. So can you choose minority-owned places? Can you choose places that are supportive of equal marriage rights? Or the flip side, can you at least not choose places that say we won't do a gay wedding, or places that have never done a wedding other than a straight white wedding, or at least that's what they have on their website. So there are ways to dig in a little bit more with your time and consideration rather than money.
I think these are great points. And, you know, we started this episode talking about like, oh, we think the topic of this episode is going to make people uncomfortable. But I think these are the conversations and the questions we have to ask ourselves. And I think it's really important to do so because it's setting the tone for the rest of your marriage and relationship and how it's going to affect everyone at your wedding down the road. Like, as difficult as they are to have and navigate, you know, it's that awkward Thanksgiving conversation that you don't want to have. Everyone's going to leave that table being just like a little bit more mindful about the decisions they make. And so you might not see the benefits of asking these tough questions and having these tough conversations like immediately, but I like to think it plants that seed of change or mindfulness to say, I can do better. This is going to set the tone. And if you, as a couple, are being so caring and concerned about being a good ally for others, I think that's just going to like creep into your own relationship. Like if you can care about others, not in your marriage, you're definitely going to be able to care about the person you're deciding to spend the rest of your life with. Yeah, it has a positive impact, I think, at the end of the day, even if it's really mm-hmm. hard to navigate initially.
Well, and I think also a lot of people think that they have every intention of doing the right thing, but then it's like, well, I only get this one day. It's just one time. It's my one wedding. And for that couple, that's true. However, this industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. There are weddings happening constantly, all the time. I mean, we are proof of that. So it's really hard, you know, it's hard to kind of dig in there to that side of things. For me as a wedding planner, like, this is crazy, this podcast. You know what I mean, Christy? It's making me think of things. I've been doing this for 17 years, Katrina. Okay.
Yeah.
And I am just now having these epiphanies like, oh, fuck.
Like, you can't be on all the time.
I know.
Time,
I can't be on all the time, but like.
Like, even on to these really important issues in the world.
Yeah.
Like,
well, we just. I know.
Yeah. Can I get a little academic?
Yes,
with
please.
You so, what you just brought up, the whole concept of I choose my choice because it makes me happy. Let me just have this one day. You know, why can't you have that mentality going into the wedding? Well, it goes back to the original idea that, you know, love is regulated and the personal is political. And so to justify that I choose my choice, regardless of other people's feelings or how it impacts other people, that's something called choice feminism. And I hate the term because it's just gives feminism, which is the idea of equality for everyone, a bad rap. But it's this idea that you can use the concept of the freedom of choice to justify choosing whatever you want, regardless of how it impacts other people or yourself. And you're making these choices within an unhealthy, already biased system. So to say like, well, this is my day, I'm going to do whatever I want, regardless of how it impacts other people, is like a really good example of choice feminism. And it eventually just perpetuates these unhealthy systems, which causes us to have these conversations today. Like, why is this politicized? How do we make a difference by choosing the right venue? What happens if we choose the wrong venue? If we just made healthier decisions and thought a little bit more through all these ones that we're making in order to have a wedding. I just think this mindfulness is so important in terms of having like an even better day. And to the people who think, I'm not going to think that deep into this. I'm going to have chocolate because I want chocolate without thinking about the political implications of importing cocoa or palm oil. I guarantee you, the more you invest mentally into this, intellectually into your wedding day, I think it's just going to result in a more meaningful wedding because you've been so invested in every little detail and step, and you're being mindful of not just yourself, but when you care about other people, you can't help but feel better about who you are and the place you have within it.
I agree with you. I think that's like the most optimistic way to frame this for people who, because we have a lot of listeners on our Facebook group and that email us and say like, I am totes overwhelmed. I hate this. I hate all these little decisions. I don't know how to make time for them. I'm tired of arguing with my partner. I'm tired of feeling like we have credit card debt. Like it just, how do people do this? We get that like kind of frantic, like I've reached the point where I can't think about it anymore. So the idea of like, think a little bit, if you just go a little bit deeper and think about like where that chocolate is sourced, it might be enough reason for somebody to like yank their earbuds out right now and be like, you know what? Fuck it. I just can't anymore.
Fair enough.
I think we have to like look at it the way you framed it, which like I said, feels optimistic that good change will trickle down.
Yeah.
But also accept that you are not going to save the world on your wedding day with all these decisions you're making. But if you make a few conscious, deliberate choices that speak to your passionate feelings about the environment or marriage equality or, just the current state of politics, if you make a few of those decisions, they can feel impactful. And by feeling impactful, they are impactful.
Yeah.
They're impacting you on your wedding day. So when it starts to feel like really overwhelming and like my head is just going to explode with all of this responsibility I have to be the most responsible, environmentally conscious bride out there, you can also take a deep breath. I hope I have to sometimes, and just remember that any one of these decisions is better than zero of these decisions if it's something you care about. Is that like a fair way to try to
I think what you said is totally reasonable and totally true. I would, to argue your point, sorry, the reason why everyone's so stressed out is because it's already an unhealthy bias system. So it's a problem that just keeps on feeding into itself. You know, to go back to this idea that sometimes you're just picking the cheapest, easiest solutions as a wedding planner to make someone happy because budgets are small. The reason why only the shitty options are affordably available to a couple is because no one's ever stretched a little bit further to say, well, let's make the healthy choices more affordable for everyone. That gets into a whole like big wedding industrial complex issue, but yeah.
It just feels like sometimes like we can't do it all. We can't like, to be cliche about it, like we can't save the world. I mean, even that little girl that is the climate activist, mm-hmm. wherever she's from, but who is like, she's the one that's on the news being like, we are kids. You adults are the ones that fucked everything up. It is not our job to fix it. It's our job to make you fix it. And she just came to a big climate conference and she boated. I mean, she wouldn't fly. It was in America. This is happening like right now, but she wouldn't get on a plane because of the carbon footprint of one person flying from Europe here to attend something that she thinks could have been done like digital video conference wise, but they wanted her there in person. So she got on the tiny boat and that's how she's getting here to make like, that's her way of making a stand. So impressive, but it also has a way of making us regular people feel kind of like, well, if I don't get on a boat, like if I'm short of getting on a boat to prove my point about environmentalism, then is it even worth going down that road to begin with? And I think we all agree that like, yes, it is worth it. It is worth, even if the impact is more personal and smaller, because you're still like fighting the powers that be in your own little way on your wedding day, which is an important day in your life.
Yeah, it definitely small ripples, I think, probably make the biggest change eventually down the road is important. You know, it goes back to that whole conversation we were having where think about the little things that you can tweak in the ceremony, like the vows, like in Mr. or Mrs., go with Ms. Think about who pays for a wedding. These are all micro political acts that are easy to think about, are easy to change, and make a pretty sizable difference at the end of the day, or at least the next generation of people who are going to get married.
Speaking of that, the Mrs. question, we did have somebody on our Facebook group ask specifically about that. She said she's doing the addressing of invitations now, and she, the bride in this case, wants to use Ms. and Mr. if they're married on every single of these invitations, on all of her addresses to women, whether they're a single woman or a married woman. And she was asking us, like, what do we think? Or asking the
She was
the
saying,
group,
do I like, have to say Mr. and Mrs. or wasn't it? Wasn't she saying, like, do I have
I think
to put
saying,
that? And I didn't respond
Ms.
to that one.
Instead
Just
of
use
Mrs.
the first names. Something like that.
Well, then you also get into the issue. A lot of people put, if it's a heterosexual couple, they put the guy's name first before the woman.
Yeah.
And that's just like a hierarchy of the patriarchy.
I just had that discussion when my sister got married and we were doing the wedding day schedule. And as I always do, if they want to have a kind of grand entrance into the reception, how do you want the MC to say, you know, your names? And I was like, how do you want that? You know, asking her, because of course I know how I would want it, but you know, she's very traditional. And she's like, I said, it could be, you know, the traditional way would be Mr. and Mrs., you know, Mr. and Mrs. John Smith, right? Mm-hmm. Or for the first time as husband and wife, man and woman, you know, names. And she's like, yeah, let's do a Mr. and Mrs. And I was like, really? I was like,
yeah.
Really, Jen? She's like, well, I'm more traditional than you. I'm like, but, and it was just by a hair that she was going to do her name change. And all through the planning, I said, are you going to keep your last name? Are you going to keep your last name? Are you going to add his name? Oh, no, I'm just going to take his. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm just going to take his last name. You are? Okay. So I tried it. And at the very last minute, she texted me from, I think it was a social security office or something. She's like, all right, I hyphenated. I kept our last name and his. And I was like, that's awesome. And then I started thinking like, but why do we have our dad's last name? We're keeping our dad's last name. And anyway, and then
yeah,
his last
name. Yeah, and that's
name.
When Michelle took the blue pill.
Yeah.
And the universe like, as it is.
Yeah.
I spend like two whole chapters discussing this in my book and explaining the history to it and the impact and what it all means and where we stand. And it's not pretty. There's no silver
name
lining
change.
In any of it. It all comes from pretty rotten tradition origins.
Yeah, like keeping the family.
Like serfdom?
Yeah, so it's basically as a way to establish ownership, which is to a man, both socially and legally under the idea of coverture, which, you know, back in the day, women were only didn't have legal identities beyond their husbands. And then the other reason why this is a common tradition is so that governments could, and people socially could, discriminate against kids born out of wedlock.
So it was ultimately
meant just to hurt kids.
So that's what you meant when you said it's not just bad. It like gets worse the more you
look into it.
Look into it.
Yeah, the origins are horrible.
Yeah.
There, in the 70s, a lot of it was overturned through Supreme Court cases and the work of a guy called Henry Krauss. So now when it's just so important when people talk about wanting to change their names, you ask why. And to also ask their partner, will you consider taking my name? And when you see that it's so divided, hopefully couples will start to realize how much of a gendered decision it is, and a tradition it still is. And then maybe question it and, take the blue pill. Wait a minute. Maybe I should rethink this decision a little bit more.
I have to tell you, I have never asked my couple what they plan to do with it. I've never asked, other than the announcements, I need something in my timeline, what Michelle said. I've never said, do you plan on taking his last name? And if so, why? And what about you? Would you take her last name? I've just never even gone down that road. And I don't know that I would as a wedding planner.
No, it doesn't have.
I have some.
Yeah, we don't do
that. I have some friends that are getting married. It's the same. It's topics of I don't know. Should I? Should I not? We already have a kid. Things like that. Mm-hmm. I have worked with one couple, a lesbian couple, one of my most favorite weddings ever. And they combined their last names together to create an entirely new last name, one that the world had never seen before. And it's awesome. It was awesome that they both did that, because they said it was a kind of a bonding thing together. It wasn't just one person's burden to do all that paperwork, but it was they took, just like you would combine apple and banana and put the words together and make a whole new banapple or whatever. They did that, and they both take great pride in their family name, they call it.
Yeah, I call that neutronymics. It's a term I created. So when a guy takes a woman's last name, which never happens, that's called matronymics. And when a woman takes guy's last name, that's called patronymics. But there was no discussion as to what happens when it's in the middle and it's equitable? And so creating a new last name would fall under neutronymics. And I think it's great.
We were just watching the Friends episode, the kids and I, of when Phoebe and Mike were going to get married. And she's like, and Monica's like, you're going to change your name, right? And she's like, yeah. And she went to change her name. She realized she could change her name to anything. And so she changed her name to Princess Consuela Banana Hammock.
Yeah.
And then Mike's like, you can't do that. And she's like, yeah, I can. I totally did. He's like, fine, then I'm going to change my name to Crap Bag.
I think there's an actress whose husband took her last name, Zoe Saldana from Avatar.
Oh.
She's a beautiful black actress that was the main chick in Avatar, the blue.
Yeah. Then maybe rings a bell.
Yeah, there was some big article about it. I guess someone asked him. He's this gorgeous man bun wearing hippie looking dude. And they asked him, why'd you take her last name? And he was like, why wouldn't I? Why don't more people do that?
Exactly.
Why aren't you asking a better question? And I was like, dang.
Yeah.
Look at you. But it's big news because he's the only one.
The majority of U.S. states actually discriminate against men in terms of name change. They make it harder for men to change their names. They have to file more paperwork. Sometimes they have to put an ad in the local newspaper, and they have to pay higher fees. So if you live in one of those states that discriminates against men, you should contact your local ACLU, because those are the groups that have filed lawsuits against the state governments to make sure that there are more equitable practices and name change is treated evenly.
Roger and Andrew that we just had on, they both changed their name so that it would include the other person's last name too, Michelle.
Isn't that what they said? Or they combined?
I think it's Alan Jones not an actual hyphen, but that they both have names.
They mushed them together.
So that's a lot of paperwork they'll have to do, I guess, individually.
It is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, which is why we hooked up with, I think by the time this episode comes out, we will have talked more about it, but it brings to mind this that service Hitch Switch.
Yes.
HitchSwitch.com that is does the paperwork. They put all the paperwork together for you. But of course, when I thought we were going to start working with them as a sponsor, I asked if there's any reason why they couldn't do that for gay couples or same-sex couples, or if there's a different set of paperwork, but it's all based on the name change. So Katrina, to your point that it speaks to a much larger implication, it regulated, it is also a ton of paperwork and necessary things to do if you choose to change your name for women, obviously, the social security cards and passports and legal documentation. I still have to, I've probably shown some office my marriage certificate 3 times in the last year, just because I moved and there were various reasons why, like I had to bring it either at the DMV or something to do with my kid's birth certificate because my maiden name was on his birth certificate and I had to prove, I was proving that I was his mom. It might have been for registering for school. I don't know. But since my last name is different, they asked for one more piece of documentation that proved he was mine. So lots of paperwork, lots of red tape. And it is a big decision if you are going to change your name. We could probably do a whole episode about this. We should do a whole episode about it. But if you do choose to do it and you want to streamline the process, you should use Hitch Switch because they are supporting us through HitchSwitch.com. If you go and buy your stuff, it's a promo code, Big Wedding. So that's relatively
we'll
new.
We'll have a link to it on our website soon too, our affiliate with them.
But in a whole, do you think you could talk for an hour about name change?
Me? Oh, I could talk for more than an hour about name change.
Okay.
Two-part series.
Maybe we'll see what people think about that because if I mean, we give our listeners, you know, what they want. If a lot of people are asking about like, what's the deal with name changes? Then we should go into it. What is up with that?
There's so much there. People had no clue. If they were surprised by wedding cakes, they're going to be shocked by name change. Oh, and we never answered the question of like what to address people. So if you don't know the gender of someone's guest, there's MIX, which is MX dot. That's the gender neutral prefix that you can use. When in doubt, and you know that they identify as female, use Ms. because that is the equivalent of Mr. and it shows the highest form of respect to someone
MS
who identifies
period.
As a woman.
MS period. Yeah.
Like the magazine. Even if you think they're married or you don't know what to say, I would just go with Ms. That's a small political act that you can make as a gesture because it's really hard to be offended by being addressed as Ms. Unless you are only someone who sees their value as a married woman. That's the whole point to Mrs. is to identify yourself as a married woman, and that's where you see your primary value when it comes to being. Because it's a Mr., Ms., Miss, it's all meant to be a form of respectful address. But the most respectful form of address to someone who identifies as a woman is Ms. And
I always use MS period when I'm emailing like my kids' teachers or administrators or anybody that I'm, well, anybody. I always use Ms. if I have to use their last name.
Yeah. And it's possible the advice I just gave is going to be super outdated in the next 5 to 10 years. And MIX is going to be the highest form of respect because you are not judging someone based on their gender, or making assumptions about their gender.
MX period.
Yeah.
Is that the same? Is that similar to Latin X that I'm seeing?
I never took Latin, so I don't know.
No, but it's like it covers like Latinos than saying
Latinx.
Like Latino.
Yeah. That's it's all kind of starting to come from there.
Cool. We'll keep an eye
on
that.
Hey, we learned that new MX. MX period.
Yeah.
MX.com.
Mix Matthews.
Yeah. Would you say Mix?
Would you say
I think
that?
It's pronounced Mix.
Okay.
I always see it just in writing. I've never heard anyone use it formally.
Mix Martinez.
But since I run in a lot of academic circles just as a lecturer, a lot of people will include that in the language. And then, you know, you put on your name tag and you have your preferred pronouns underneath. And Mix comes up in that setting a bunch.
Do you use that, Katrina?
I don't mind if someone uses it.
But you don't, like for yourself.
No, I'm happy with Ms.
You're happy with Ms.
Do not like Mrs.
Yeah.
Because, you know, why isn't my spouse identifying, using a prefix that identifies himself as married?
Right, because it puts the mister in there.
Yeah, men between, are always mister.
Misters. You belong to misters. A mister if you're a missus.
I'm a misters. Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, it's so interesting. Okay.
Deep thoughts with Michelle Martinez.
With Mix Martinez.
There you go. It has a ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're starting it.
Mix Martinez, you're up next. Very cool. Did we get we fit everything in? Because
yes, I noted like the stories we're seeing in the news. So if anybody wants to look things up so that you know we're not just making this up, we have reference points. You can Google MAGA wedding, M-A-G-A, and you'll see, if nothing else, you'll see the pictures of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
She has the word MAGA on her dress, like very huge on her dress. Also, there was a story that was making the rounds about a vegan bride who aggressively disinvited any meat eaters in her life, including siblings. She wasn't going to serve meat at her wedding, of course, but she didn't want them present at her wedding at all if they were not vegan. And then the last one was about, was it menus or seating chart?
Yeah, it was a wedding in the UK. The groom's parents insisted that men be served different food than the women.
What?
So for dessert, men got whiskey or something and women got cheesecake. And the whole menu was divided by gender. And I don't know.
It was
what
separate
effect.
But equal.
That's just very odd. What?
And then another article I came across was on Offbeat Bride, which I reference a lot in the newsletters. Usually once a month, there's an article in there that I like. And the title was Wedding as Political Act. And so if you wanted to look that up, it had a list of different ways that people, much like what we talked about in this episode, are making stances one way or the other on their wedding day. And lastly, I wanted to note that in the midst of wedding planning, which can feel like your to-do list just never ends, if there's an election going on that's important to you, don't forget to get out of your wedding planning mode and go vote in your elections and then return to wedding planning. There's big elections coming up, as you know.
We interrupt this wedding planning process for voting.
To vote. I love that. What was the song that she sang in Mary Poppins?
She's the suffragette.
Oh, she's the best.
What if at your wedding you had a little booth where people could register to vote? I mean, you've got,
you know, that's a good idea. I was actually thinking early on when we were talking about donations to actually have a computer set up, like maybe in the cocktail reception or something, where people can go and just donate in real time to your charity.
Or that they could donate their blood. Why don't we have that at wedding receptions?
That's weird.
Not with alcohol.
You offered a tattoo artist to come.
I do want a tattoo artist to come. You're right.
You'd spend less money on alcohol if people were donating blood because they would get drunker faster. Okay, you see what we're doing here.
I see what we're doing.
Lots of ways. Give us your information, Katrina, that people can look up.
So you can find me on Instagram at The Feminist Bride or at my first name, my last name. My last name spelled M-A-J-K-U-T. Yeah, and I also have a website called thefeministbride.com. But, you know, I definitely want to urge people to check out my book, The Adventures and Discoveries of a Feminist Bride, What No One Tells You Before You Say I Do.
It's a good book,
yo. Very good. Yes, we loved it. We both read it and we referenced it. And on our show notes for that episode, what did I say? 86? Yes.
It's 86.
Episode 86 also has a lot of information 86. And links to the book. We'll include those here as well. So I think that's it. Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
That's it. Thank you,
Katrina.
For having me to talk about tough topics again. I hope it went smooth for you and it was smooth listening for everyone else.
It was good for me. Was it good for you? It was great.
Please subscribe to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. But if it's iTunes, rate and review us on Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. And we use hashtag plan that wedding on every picture that we post. And it's a great way for us to see your posts as well. Facebook and Twitter, you can find us at TBWP Podcast or look up the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We also have a Facebook group, a community group of the same name. And that's becoming a huge forum for our listeners to connect with each other and ask questions of us, each other, or our guest. So if you have questions about today's episode, you can post them on that Facebook page, and I'll get an answer from Katrina and post it as well for everyone to see. It's a good way to share information. Our email address is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com, and we have a Patreon page that is the life force of the small amount of funding that we need to do this podcast, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. And if you are going to change your name, look into hitchswitch.com and use the promo code bigwedding at checkout for a 10% discount. And we get a little kickback on that as well. So it's a win-win, and we have a phone number.
Yes, and actually, while we were recording this episode, we got a phone call. So we've got a voicemail to listen to and put on Yawa, it seems, next time. That phone number is 415-723-1625. Call us, let us hear your voice, and ask us a question.
And if you want more than that, like one-on-one consulting, hit us up with an email. We're scheduling that, and we love to do it. And so far, so good. Everyone thinks it's very valuable.
Yes, you could contact Mix Matthews or Mix Martinez, whichever you prefer.
That's right.
I'm going to start saying that.
And we will get back to you. Thank you, Katrina.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody. Happy planning. Christy, love you. Love your show.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.